From Main Street to Wall Street, global business celebrity and former Fortune 100 C-suite executive Jeffrey Haislett takes you inside the good, the bad, and the ugly of businesses today. Saddle up. It's time for All Business with Jeffrey Haislett.
Today, we're diving into the electrifying world of energy infrastructure and policy with two titans in the field, David Tice and Senator Bob Hall. David Tice, an expert in energy innovation and the producer of Grid Down, Power Up, and Senator Bob Hall, a passionate advocate for securing our power grid. They've joined forces to shed new light on the critical issues facing our electricity infrastructure in the documentary Grid Down, Power Up. So get ready for a charged conversation as we explore the future of our power grid and the urgent need for action. Gentlemen, welcome to All Business with Jeffrey Haislett right here on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's good to have you. David, I got to ask you, first of all, you're a guy in finance. You're making a lot of money. You did well during the downturns and the upsides of all of that. But now you're in the movie business. What prompted a guy who usually makes money to spend money, and your own money, quite frankly, into the millions of dollars to create a movie like this?
So, Jeffrey, I realized I had grandkids, and my grandkids a couple years ago were 4, 3, 2, 1. Houston, we have a problem. Yeah. I realized that I wanted them to live a long life, but I realized that there was only about a 20% probability that over 8 decades they would live, that there would not be a massive solar storm that would wipe out the grid and kill as many as 90% of Americans. And therefore, I wanted to do something about that because there are fixes out there available that would only cost about $4 billion that could better protect our power grid.
Well, it's not just about solar flares and the things that we'd see in a sci-fi movie. This is a real kind of thing, right, Senator?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've known about this for a very long time. And unfortunately, in the energy field, we've done very little. Military recognizes it. It's a part of their preparation, but from the civilian side. And what makes it so sad is I agree completely with David that we owe this to future generations. But most people don't realize that electricity is the second most important thing to sustaining life. The only thing more important than electricity is air. Because without electricity, you don't even get water. You don't get food. You don't get medicine. You don't get anything. We are absolutely, totally dependent on electricity. Most people won't even be able to tell time without electricity.
Now, we're filming this in Texas, which is one of the grids that are right here, and you've got one of the big ones. And, of course, I remember a few years ago, that grid went down, and it was almost Armageddon down here in Texas, right?
Oh, absolutely. And people remember that. And they got just a small dose because that was in the worst place. It was only a few days.
Yeah.
What we're talking about now is a grid that would go down somewhere between a very long time and indefinitely.
So let's talk about the threats, because I don't think we're talking about weather or we're talking about solar flare, but there are a lot more threats to the grid when we look at the infrastructure that could cause it to go down. And most people don't know that there are threats going on to the grid every single day that pop up in around a number of communities around the world. Tell me what those threats are.
So our movie, Grid Down, Power Up, we talk about four major threats. Three of those came from adversaries, bad guys. Mm-hmm. One is physical attack. The second is a cyber attack. The third attack is an electromagnetic pulse or an EMP attack. And then the fourth threat that we talk about in the film is a solar flare that I mentioned at the onset. But we have four major adversaries: Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. And really, we're engaged right now, or on the cusp of three theaters of war. And we have these open borders now where sleeper cells are likely coming into the country. And therefore, that's the big risk.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about this, you know, let's talk about the EMP, because I remember, Senator, your background was some Minuteman silos, as I recall, Minuteman missiles. That's when we used to think about that EMP attack, was way back then.
Yes, it was. We discovered it in the Starfish Prime test. That's where you're doing our high altitude nuclear testing, because our bombs got so big we could no longer detonate them on the desert floor in Nevada, so we started to go to outer space. We expected a pulse, but we didn't expect the huge pulse that we got. And immediately after beginning the testing, as we knocked out the power grids in the islands, realized we had to stop. Russians basically learned the same thing with their test over Kazakhstan. And we ended up the high altitude testing, but it opened up the door for a weapon that the Russians could use against us, but we couldn't use against them in the military. That is with our Minuteman missile, because their missiles, our missiles, we were ahead of them in technology. We had integrated circuits in our computers, very vulnerable to an EMP. The Russians lagged behind us in technology, so their vacuum tube computers were not susceptible. And so we learned we had a serious threat from a military standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to understand those big, huge, you know, world plays like that. But at the same time, I think the bigger threats, at least from what I can see, watching not just the movie, but listening to each of you and listening to a lot of experts, is really the cyber attacks or knocking out just some pieces of equipment that could take the entire grid down.
Absolutely. They've identified the White House Commission on EMP identified that you could totally cripple the entire United States by taking down nine substations.
Nine substations nine around the country.
Simultaneously.
Which aren't guarded, quite frankly.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, you could literally walk up to these. I mean, there's a fence around them, those kinds of things. But you could certainly go to them very quickly.
Yeah, we experienced several hundred physical attacks on substations with people basically using high-powered weapons.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a game with them.
A bunch of idiots out there.
That's right.
We hope, right? A bunch of idiots out there with a high-powered rifle, a 22 or maybe a 30-06 or some other high caliber, and just plinking around thinking, hey, what the heck? What's this going to do?
That is true. But the nuclear one of the EMP from a nuclear weapon in outer space is actually would be, to me, would be a more simpler, easier, and a thing anyone could do. It opens it up to any small group that could get their hands on a nuclear weapon and a medium-range missile and a cargo ship.
But that's just not going to affect the United States, though, either. No. When you do that, it could also affect other parts of the world, right?
Well, no, there would be one weapon detonated roughly over the central part of the United States, roughly above Kansas, South Dakota, as an example, at 200, 250 nautical miles. It would send out a pulse line of sight. And so the Eastern Hemisphere, basically Canada, Central America, South America, and the United States for sure would be affected by it. It would not affect the rest of the world. But one small nuclear weapon, it could be one of those that went missing from the Soviet Union's arsenal when the Soviet Union collapsed.
Yeah. All right, I want to move into some more practical things besides the doom and gloom of this is relevant. But you have to understand it's relevant. And when you talk about some of this, a lot of people are going, you're nuts, you're crazy. But I know that you're not nuts and crazy, and thank goodness there are people like yourselves who are out there bringing this to people's attention, just like a lot of other threats that we have out there. And to me, this is one that you don't have to really necessarily create a war to do. I mean, with a 30-06 or some other weapon or a good pickup truck, you know, you could drive in and take some of these things out. Senator, what's being done legislatively? Because it seems like to me this is a government issue. This isn't something from the ground, grassroots. This is something the government should be doing.
Well, at the national level, absolutely nothing. Trump had issued executive orders to begin the process to define what needed to be done to protect our electrical grid system. Biden canceled those executive orders on day one when he took office. So what was beginning to get started was put to an end. I've attempted every session to get a bill passed to get our power companies in Texas to start doing something to protect it, knowing what we're doing. I haven't been successful. We've gotten the bills out of the Senate every session, but they die in the House. But the good news is that we have a couple of power companies in Texas who recognize that what we're talking about is real, and they've taken steps to do something about it. CenterPoint down in Houston, they built a hardened control center. Got some special funding for it. It's in operation. It's their backup operations center. It's built to military specifications, and in the last 2 years, they have expanded to actually design, build, and have in production a hardened substation using new technology. And the best thing about that is waylaid the myth that if we're going to do this, it's going to be very expensive, because their innovative engineer that designed this used new technology, something the power companies don't do. They haven't introduced new technology forever. But he came up with a control system using fiber optics, and they can now build that hardened substation for 25% of the cost of the one it's going to replace.
All right, speaking of good news, we're going to take a quick break and be right back after this message.
C-Suite Radio.
And we are back with All Business with Jeff Raisett right here on C-Suite TV and C-Suite Radio. We're talking about grid down, power up, and all about the electricity grid. And I've got with me here the producer of the film, David Tice, and also Senator Bob Hall from Texas. Now, Senator, I want to delve a little bit more into this legislative side. It's really, Texas plays a big part in this, right? Because Texas has its own grid.
That is correct, and we need to keep it that way. There's a move afoot to have Texas tied in with the eastern grid and the western.
Yeah, shouldn't you guys become part of the United States at some point?
Well, no, I think we need to stay right where we are, because we don't need the inept NERC and FERC oversight that was at the federal level. We can solve our problems. I think we've got a much better chance with our PUC and ERCOT here in Texas of actually moving forward and doing something. So we need to not make that move. It would be too expensive for
us. All right. So we've got a legislative issue, but it's also an education issue in terms of letting people know what's going on out there. Because I think the average citizen has no clue. So, David, what are some things that citizens can do to start playing an active role in this and help Senator Hall and other legislators and congressmen and senators from around the country take action on this issue?
So first of all, Jeffrey, they need to watch the movie, which is available now on YouTube and is coming on Amazon. We also have a facility under the Participate tab on the Grid Down Power Up website, where you can just add your home address, a few clicks to your mouse, and you can have pre-written letters, emails, you can make phone calls to your state legislators, your federal legislators, your regulatory officials, as well as members of board of directors of your public utilities. Then you need to tell your friends. You need to watch this movie, and I think you'll be moved. And we actually end with a happy ending, saying that America's had our backs up against a wall before. We can overcome this. This is highly fixable. So tell 30 of your friends, 50 of your friends. That's what emails and text messages are all about. We need a Mothers Against Drunk Drivers scale movement, where we need ticked off mama bears and soccer dads.
I think this is great to watch you do this, because this is a truly a patriotic American kind of thing. And I'm one of those flag waving kind of guys. We're on the opposite political spectrum, but we're good friends. And I've been watching David do this and watching great patriots like Senator Hall and others take the charge on this thing. You know, what gave you the inspiration, you know, to pick up the phone and call a guy named like Dennis Quaid and get other people involved in this movie? Because I've seen this movie a number of times, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. And most people who are watching or listening right now don't know that when you make a movie, it's not the same when you first start it. It takes on iterations. Having been at Kodak, I've been in the motion picture business, so understand that. So what gave you the inspiration to say, I can make a movie? Because you weren't a movie maker before.
No, so I was a financier of the movie Soul Surfer, the story about Bethany Hamilton. And so I had Dennis Quaid on the set. We ended up playing dice games and,
so a little connection there.
Yeah. But I've got fire in the belly about this, because I'm a dot connector. And to me, this is so obvious where the dots are connected and the risk is so great and the cost is so modest. We just need to fix this.
Yeah, well, $4 billion, or I think was the price tag. It's $4 billion. But in the scope of things, it is a very inexpensive cost to be able to fix it. You know, one of my biggest takeaways in this movie was the fact that, as Senator Hall mentioned, the countries that we're at war with, or you may probably mention that we're kind of at war at, if you want to put those quotes around that, we're getting parts that are in our infrastructure from those countries. And even if you wanted to replace them, it might take you years to replace those component parts, right?
Exactly.
And I'm speaking of China. I mean, I think if we look at across the global spectrum, China's right up there in terms of not our best interest at heart.
Everybody realizes that we are essentially at war with China. I mean, Xi has declared a people's war against the United States of America. You look at the fact that there's more than 400 major transformers in our grid that have been manufactured in China. Jennifer Granholm, who is the current Secretary of Energy under Joe Biden right now, has said that our adversaries are currently in our grid and could potentially shut it down at their option.
So one of the things I know, David, you're passionate about renewable technologies as well. And do you see these reshaping the grid as well? Do you see these as alternatives? I mean, how does that fit into the overall piece of it?
So this movie is about protecting what we have, not trying to get into delineating what percentage there needs to be solar, wind, et cetera. I'm a bigger fan of nukes than I am, you know, solar and wind. Frankly, one of the issues with solar and wind is it's not dispatchable power, and therefore we need dispatchable power in order to keep the grid together. So they are not really a solution for this.
Yeah, it's funny because I have a ranch out in South Dakota, and we talk about electric vehicles a lot. And, you know, I can't find charging stations across the state of South Dakota like you can in bigger cities. Senator, I saw you shaking your head a little bit, like some of these renewable energies, good, but not necessarily the answer, right?
I find very little good about them when you look at it from an honest and complete picture standpoint. They don't do much for the environment when you take in the life cycle of them. And the biggest issue, as David mentioned, is the dispatchable. We've got to be able to get electricity on demand. And sure, when the sun is shining, the wind is blowing, they're putting out. If it weren't for the subsidies, it would cost about the same thing to get power out of windmills and solar panels as it does from a thermal. Yeah. Dispatchable unit. So it's not an economic thing. That's a farce right there. But it does not, and it actually damages in the long term. We're right at the edge of much more in wind and solar on our Texas grid, and we'll start degrading it significantly.
What does that mean by degrading it?
It's our ability to deliver power when it's needed.
Yeah.
That is what we have to be able to do. The dispatchable is absolutely necessary because you want electricity when you want electricity.
When you need it, I want it on.
You don't want permission from the sun or the wind to be able to operate your business or operate your home.
But you want to use those as well, though, wouldn't you? I mean, you still want to use them. I mean, the wind is free. I've got a river outside of my house in South Dakota, and I plan to put a little wheel on it and generate it and run some of my lights at least. There's nothing wrong with that.
It makes a perfect sense, just like what you're talking about. Individuals with wind and solar power, that's fine. If they want to make that investment and do that and have the independence, that's great. That's where it should be. Making it part of what we are trying to build as on-demand, dispatchable energy that business needs to operate, hospitals need to serve, and people need to live their lives, then we need to have dispatchable.
We've passed that point of return a long time ago, I believe, where you've got to be able to have that dependable power to run the infrastructure that we need in this country.
And there are alternatives to that. And David kind of touched on it a little bit, but we need to look more at microgrids, at fusion, at using the problem, solving a problem we have with our nuclear facilities are the rods, which only use about 5% of the uranium in the rods before they have to get rid of them, then find a place to store them for a gazillion years. We could actually use those rods in smaller power plants built around the nation in a grid, and you call them microgrids.
We'll argue the value of nuclear energy at another time.
Okay.
Let me take a quick break, take a message, come back, and I want to ask you more about what people can do and the real power behind Grid Down, Power Up. And we'll be right back after this message.
C-Suite Radio.
Thank you, and we are back. I'm Jeffrey Hazlett, host of All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett, right here on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV. We're talking about Grid Down, Power Up, a groundbreaking movie all about the power grid. And I'm here with the producer, David Tice, and Senator Bob Hall of Texas, talking about electricity and the vulnerability of the grid. Now, we've been talking about a lot of alternative kinds of things. Senator, you know, how can you get more citizens involved? I mean, watching the movie is one thing, but how do you get more citizens involved so that you can start to make the legislative impact that you need to have? Because you do have to have that. I mean, and you've been doing this for a number of years, trying and trying, And sometimes the power companies have been opposing you on this initiative. So what do you got to do to get people to really get there and, you know, maybe get a little ticked off and let's make something happen?
Well, that's why I'm so pleased when David came and started talking about doing this movie. And then to see the product that he came up with, it is what we can need for the catalyst to get people to recognize that that we do have an issue here that needs to be addressed. And this is one in which the population, I mean, we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, for a very good reason. That's so the people can have a say in it. Unfortunately, we have an awful lot of apathy around the country of people wanting to let somebody else take care of it. Well, when the lights go out, it isn't going to matter whether you are black, white, Republican, or Democrat. It all goes out the same. And so this is a nonpartisan issue, but people need to let their legislators know that they want something done about it. They need to let the governor know. They need the lieutenant governor know, their senator, their representative. And a good way is to follow David's advice and go to the website and write those letters. See, and then make other people aware of the movie itself. I'm still surprised as much publicity as we've had on it. I can tell people about it and I say, well, I haven't heard about that.
Yeah.
Well, people need to hear about it. You need to dedicate yourself to see it and then get at least 20 of your closest friends to watch it also and then follow up with messages.
Yeah, I think this is important to note, David. This isn't a partisan movie. And anyway, you know, you certainly, both gentlemen are on one side of the spectrum. There are other people on the other side. But this is truly an American issue. This is Democrat, Republican, doesn't make a difference. But in watching the movie, I don't see this as one you're saying, hey, do this over another thing in terms of power. It just brings and educates people in terms of this issue and then what you can do to fix it, right?
Exactly. So protect what we have is number one. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the California legislature, which is dominated by Democrats, back in 2018, they actually passed unanimously two separate bills imploring U.S. Congress and the U.S. President to protect our grid against EMP and GMD. You know, so
that's a positive thing for a Republican to say, right?
Oh, this was a Democrat.
Yeah, I got it. But about Democrats, I think that's a very nonpartisan kind of thing. This, again, getting back to the, I think the film is not a partisan film. The film is really much about, we have this issue. Are you aware of this issue? And this is what we all have to do.
And again, Jennifer Granholm under Joe Biden, you know, she said that this is the issue right now.
Mm-hmm. As revealed earlier, Dennis Quaid has been tapped to narrate the Energy Crisis documentary. He was recently interviewed about why he did the film.
It's called Grid Down, Power Up, and it's about an issue which concerned me really for quite some time. They did a segment on 60 Minutes about this, but there is a 100% probability that our sun, generating what they call a GMD, which is a solar storm that hits our Earth and the magnetic field that we have around the Earth and can fry everything that is electric above the ground, including our entire grid.
Every expert in the documentary says this looming crisis is inevitable and solvable. Dennis Quaid, the film's narrator, called for a Manhattan-like project during an interview on the Tucker Carlson Network.
It's a scary proposition. I mean, there needs to be education and there needs to be something done about it. And done about it pretty quick. I mean, these protective relays that could be installed in the transformers, starting with that. I mean, we have the technology. We know how to do this. It's not something mysterious that we have to get involved in. What we do need is something like a Manhattan Project that we had back during World War II, where, you know, the Germans, we knew that the Germans were trying to develop a bomb, and so we got there quicker. And somebody to cut through all the bureaucratic red tape and be vested with the authority to just to get this done. We could do it in a couple of years.
So How do people get involved? What do they have to do? I mean, really specifically, and we'll give them some of the suggestions here on the show. We'll put those up on the screen, but give me a couple of those.
Okay, a few things. One, definitely watch the movie, tell your friends, participate tab, just a few clicks of your mouse. You can actually add to those letters. Make a phone call. If you're connected to Skype or to, you know, Apple phone, you can actually hit your mouse and you can actually reach legislators' offices, regulators' offices. You can actually talk to your friends and neighbors and go to your city council meetings. And we need to protect domestic civil water, you know, systems as an example. That's our critical civilian infrastructure. Our film talks about the grid, but we need to protect our water systems. We need to say, let's do something about this. Let's have backup generators for our water systems.
Yeah. Senator, any final thoughts?
No, David's absolutely right. We need to start making sure from an emergency standpoint that we can have society operating, because just a few days without electricity, there will be total chaos. Yeah. And a real good book that describes this that I think is one of the best written is One Second After, written by a professor in North Carolina about what happened in their community over the first year without electricity. And the White House study said that we'll lose 90% of our population in 11 months without it. And so what we need to do is do exactly what David said, become educated, understand the problem by watching the movie, and then contacting as many people as you can to say, we want this problem fixed. It can be done. It is nonpartisan. My bill has had Democrat support every session, growing each session. I think this last session I had all the entire Senate were joint authors on the bill that I had to do this. It just died in the House.
Well, a preventable issue without question. We just got to make some action. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, David. I'm going to host a viewing party and invite as many people to come and watch. And that's what we're going to do. Thanks for being here on All Business with Jeffrey. Is it right here on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, Grid Down, Power Up. Make sure that you watch it and tell your friends. Hey, at the end of every show, I like to talk about what I learned, and this week was spectacular. This is a fixable problem. What is this? It's all about our electric grid. It's at the core of everything that we do in our lives, electricity, and we need it regardless of what your political thoughts are about being green, not green, or just being plugged in. Without it, our infrastructure dies, and so does our way of life. So it's important for us to get educated, and that's what we have to do from time to time as citizens in the United States, is to learn a little bit about what's going on and why and what we can do to improve it. And that's what I learned right here on All Business with Jeffrey Hizet on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV. Tell your friends to watch the movie Grid Down, Power Up.
You're listening to All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett, brought to you by C-Suite Radio, a podcast network featuring today's top business experts and is part of the C-Suite Network, the world's most trusted network of C-Suite executives. Find this and other business podcasts on c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.